they don't, some of them don't live around here, didn't realize that there was a new zoning map coming out where they needed to have input, where they should have appeared and made recommendations and comments. That public hearing did not, they didn't know about it. And so it got, it did get rezoned as R3 and did not get the short-term nightly rental designation. And so that's probably what caused some of the issues. But nevertheless, for those bases, we'd request, and I think finally this is not in my application, but I think the situation we are in today on January, mid-January, as opposed to beginning of November, is a little bit different in that now, and I think the gentleman from Redbud even alluded to this, is that it might change. I think he said that once some of the units within the development get approved, that my client might have a better basis for making that request. And I don't disagree with that. Again, not that I think it's binding on you all in any means, but at this current stage, you have some units within the development now zoned short-term nightly rentals and others that are not, particularly these two parcels. So for those reasons, we would ask that the commission grant my request or Lifestyle's request to rehear it. And if it wasn't explained, it's my understanding that if the commission grants this request, that is not an approval of the rezoning. I'll still have to go. We'll have another hearing on that basis.
I think with that being said, also you'd have to go through the same process to notify that there's another additional public hearing.
Yes, sir.
I mean, whatever those are. So you'd probably want to, again, if it is approved, you'd want to make sure you get with Scott.
Yes, sir.
And probably even Travis to make sure that
everything's. Yeah. The notices go out.
Notices go out and they are how they need to be. So.
Right.
You've covered everything very well. And on it, I'm just going to make one note. Mr. Richards, in regard to the well and everything, he was also presenting that at P&Z, and that was brought out very, very much at that time. So it wasn't thrown at him as something new. But and do understand that's another topic, the well is, because whether that comes under the zoning or not.
Sure. Well, even if it is, I certainly wanted to be address concern. I mean, to the extent it's a factor that you guys consider, I mean, I'd certainly be willing to address it. But
and like I said, once again, I think you've covered everything that I can think of. But you did mention, and it was brought out that the owners of the condo, the different ones that were approved, lived away and said they didn't have the knowledge. But one of the main owners of the Lifestyle Contractors does live here and everything. Mm-hmm. Did he go to the zoning meeting and present that it was
He did not, and the reason probably being is, and I don't want to say anything wrong, but I don't know that Lifestyle even owned it when it got rezoned. It may have acquired it.
I think you're correct.
I think Lifestyle may have acquired it. So I'm certainly not, I mean, Lifestyle. So, I mean, there's certainly no excuse that we had. I mean, when Lifestyle purchased it, it clearly knew or should have known its current zoning designation. I'm not suggesting other than that. Lifestyle purchased it and hoped that it, I guess, could request a rezoning.
And I'm sure you're aware, if it was reheard, you'd want to discuss the parking situation.
I had been told that that was a concern, so I'll be prepared to discuss parking.
Commission, I have no objection.
I don't either. I appreciate, I don't know that you owe us an apology, but I appreciate the apology.
Sure.
I don't think you were well presented previously.
Understood, and there's been some discussion about. My guess is that Mr. Richards, and I get along with Mr. Richards just fine, but my guess is he won't be speaking on Lifestyle's behalf.
Well, they did better by choosing you to speak. That said, I move that we accept the to adhere the reconsideration of LifeSol contractors in regarding to this application. I do not have the number before me.
Don't
find it on any of the documents.
Just as presented.
So I will just say the application for LifeSol contractors as presented.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Records disposal list for 2018.
Yes.
You're not here on that list.
Our treasurer was not able to be here, but she's disposing this under the, I think you have the letter under statute,
109.
Chapter 109, and that 109.260 tells how the records can be destroyed as determined by the commission, that the record has no further administrative, legal, physical, or research or historical value. And our treasurer said all of these are could be destroyed upon completion of audit. And but her policy, their policy standard through the treasurer's office is to keep it for 3 years. And
move to approve the records disposal list from the Taney County Treasurer's Office as presented.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Court orders.
Good morning.
Morning.
First thing I've got is real estate paid abatements. Abatement number 212214. This property, it says it's a clerical error. And what it was is the property was 100% commercial. It should have been residential.
Yeah, switch the put the date where the exhibit normally goes and the exhibit where the date normally goes. You're messing me up here.
I apologize. I didn't do these. But, you know.
Do you understand, is this a new owner that was bought in the middle of the year? It was commercial in the first, and then the new owner is not going to make it residential. Is that correct?
From what I understand, it's I don't know any background on it. I just know what I was reading on it.
Move to approve, label this Exhibit A, move to approve Exhibit A dated 1-10 of 22.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
The next court order I have is abatement 211718. Total assessed was incorrectly entered as a commercial. This here is not a nightly rental property. So they're taking the commercial off of it.
Well, did they... And the evidence you guys have here says for 2020,
I believe that's the old documents that was in the program from where this property had been a nightly rental.
Okay. Well, here's why I asked. 17, 18, and 19 says they weren't. 20 says it is. So I'm wondering if they actually, did they select the wrong? And, well, and it says it was rented for 365 nights. I doubt if it was rented every single night. So I'm assuming they filled the form out wrong. Is that what we're...
That's my assumption. It was done on 4/10/2020, so...
Is there not a different owner now than... Yes, there is. And this is also one that...
Yeah, it is a different owner.
Yeah. And they're not going to use it for nightly rental. On the first, we don't have a document showing. But it was assessed as commercial on the first. And then someone bought it.
Did you say it's a different owner now?
It's now owned by... Conley is last name, and it used to be owned by Beechner Construction.
You guys have any questions on it?
I don't.
Label Exhibit B. Move to approve Exhibit B, dated 1/10/22.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Swan Creek Bridge Inspection Report.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is my report here.
Apologize to Brandon, there's not many pictures, so try to follow up.
I'll try to keep up. Is this the one you wanted?
Yeah. So, Devin Hove asked us to go look at the Swan Creek Bridge near Shadow Rock Park. This is on the old Highway 160, or Highway 76, I should say. It was built in 1932 by M.E. Galois out of Monette area. So Galois built the Galois Theater, quite a few of the other bridges around the area. It was a real big bridge and building builder of the time. 345 feet long. Devin wanted us to go down there and look at it, try to tell if it was in bad shape or in good shape overall. It's a bridge from the 1930s. It's got some signs of wear and tear, but for a bridge from the 1930s, it's in really great shape as far as that goes. I would anticipate and recommend doing the following work. We'd like to, if you guys take it onto your system, we'd want to do a pressure wash of it. You've got some spots of efflorescence. Be nice to wash off of there. Also, just get any debris and loose stuff off of it. Then we'd want to repair the expansion joints. There's a number of expansion joints. Devin and I walked it the other day. Basically go through there, clean each one of them out, and then put back in a non-shrink or a flexible filler joint. Guardrail repairs, that bridge is a first for myself. It was underwater there for quite a while, and there are some odd-looking damage to the top rail of the concrete guardrails, and Devin explained what that was from to me, that's what the boat props had caught them whenever they'd go across the top of it. So there's a couple spots that very, very strange-looking from our standpoint.
The top of the bridge?
Yeah, on the crash railing on either side. I would imagine it would tear up a boat propeller pretty badly. So those people probably had a bad day. But pretty easy to repair, just kind of interesting looking. There is a little bit of a damage to the southwest abutment, or billard, I guess you would put there, right there at the corner of the guardrail. That we'd recommend just replacing, just like the other ones are, so it'd look aesthetic. I think that's from a vehicle accident a number of years ago. There are a couple places on the